I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen. Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with another Road to Diamond interview. And today I've got Brian and Jody McKenna from Pendleton, Indiana, which is just north of Indianapolis. They're longtime Young Living leaders with a great diamond story. Welcome to Road to Diamond, Brian and Jody.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
So the way I like to start every one of these interviews is to kind of get some context for people by asking you, who were you? Where were you? And what were you doing before you ever heard of Young Living, right up to the point of somebody introduced you? Then I'm going to ask you who introduced you and how they introduced you. So just tell us what was going on before Young Living.
I'll let you take this one since you were the first one to uncover it.
So we are high school sweethearts. And after college, we packed up and moved to Colorado. Brian went to school out there. And then we were missionaries for a little bit, moved to India, and then decided to come back to Indiana. Wow. So Brian, it was a wild ride. Then Brian got a great job as a civil engineer, and I was a kindergarten teacher. And we got the dog, kept the dog alive. And after we did that, we thought, hey, it'd be great to have kids. And
practiced on the dog?
Yeah. Kept them alive. And after a lot of fun, we still didn't get pregnant. And we found out that I had polycystic ovarian syndrome that made it very difficult for us to get pregnant. And so we decided we needed to make some big changes. So we changed our diet, saw an herbalist, and we managed to get pregnant. But then after our son was born, he was really sick. And because we had found out that there were some natural ways that could actually heal your body, I went back to this herbalist and asked her, like, what can I do for our son so that he can maintain his health and wellness? And so that's when she gave us this really diluted bottle of Thieves. And so we just rubbed Thieves essential oil on Asher's feet, and his wellness improved dramatically. And it was kind of life-changing for us. But we were just, we had no idea that Young Living was this amazing company. We just knew Thieves was amazing, and we wanted more Thieves. And so we bought Thieves for a really long time.
Like a few years. You know, that was the only Young Living product that we knew.
Yeah. So we just kept having kids, and we have four now, four miracle kids. Brian kept doing engineering. I decided to stay home, and we homeschooled our kids. And then finally, one day, my upline called me my grand. Well, actually, I skipped a few parts, but we did end up needing like a full bottle of Thieves. And in that process, we were sent, when I placed an order, we got started with lavender and peppermint. And so now we knew that there were three products from Young Living. And so we knew those three products really, really well. In fact, peppermint was your gateway oil. And I got involved in some holistic groups, and I was teaching classes about, you know, how to make yogurt and ferment things, and Thieves always came up because I made a cleaner from it, not knowing that Young Living had a cleaner. We did everything with that Thieves and the lavender and the peppermint, all these home cleaning supplies. And so I just kept telling everyone about Thieves, and they learned that they needed my member number just to get started. And so I dished that number out for years.
Without having any idea that there was some benefit to her for sharing that number. It was just because she wanted people to have access to the Thieves.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then finally, one day, our grandma upline, so two levels above us, she called and she's like, you know, you should get on, you know, what's now our subscribe to save. You should get on that. And I thought she was crazy. Like, who is this woman? Why is she calling me? Yeah. And I think she called, it was 2 or 3 months in a row. And finally, I think we'd run out of Thieves. And so I was like, hey, Brad, you mind if I order this? Like, if I get on the subscribe to save, because she tells me that we're going to actually get some money back. And lo and behold, we got a paycheck. And we took it. What will you tell us?
I think we're getting a little beyond when we up to the point of introducing the Young Living. So I don't know if we're getting ahead and into your next series of questions. Maybe that's a good pause point there.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get clear about who introduced you to Young Living. And that how that conversation went. Was it the herbalist?
Actually, it was not the herbalist. Well, the herbalist did introduce us. And when Brian was giving you information for this interview, he ended up finding like this email that I had sent.
Yeah, I mean, she had sold you the oil, but she sold them, you know, she focused on selling the products out of her office rather than helping people actually get started with it. So when she actually went to sign up, when she needed more oil, she didn't want to make another appointment to go see the herbalist. So instead, she just, you know, got on it. It was a Holistic Moms chat room, a Yahoo chat room, study how long ago it was, and had a conversation on there about, does anybody know where I can get Thieves? And somebody responded back on that chat room that, here, you can use my member number and actually sign up and get directly from the company. So we had never met the person. That was the only interaction she had had with herbalist.
Yeah, I think so. Her name's Rachel. She lives in Ohio. She's great. And she got me started. She would call and she sent us a bunch of CDs that we could, I think she collected back in the day, like you would get a CD with your order instead of free products.
And like an audio recording.
Yeah, an audio Gary recording teaching. Of Gary. Yeah. And so she had collected all of those and sent those to me just to learn more about the company and the products. But yeah, she still uses oils and everything.
What an amazing story. So I just want to like point out some nuggets for the listening audience here. So we got an herbalist who obviously loved Young Living products, but didn't understand the network marketing aspect, or perhaps decided didn't want anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. So the only way you could get oils from the herbalist was to make an appointment and go see her. Well, that's eventually going to run out in terms of scaling and being efficient. So you sought out a more efficient way to enroll in Young Living. You found your own sponsor, Rachel. And so the question, it begs the question, how much wealth, how much income did the herbalist leave on the table by not showing you the income opportunity?
A lot,
yeah. I mean, I can only speculate what her OGV would be. I don't know where her other legs would be if she could certainly. This is a long time ago. This is back in 2004 or 2005. So, if she had, there was certainly inevitably if she had focused more on the business back then, she would be in her CD today.
Because many of the people that saw her at the time are now like our first legs, our front legs.
Wow.
And they would have been hers.
Right. All right. So here's a second question for you. You are, let's see, are you diamonds or, yeah, you're diamonds, right? You're like a double diamond.
We've hit crown. Well, yeah, we've hit crown.
Yeah. I call you a double diamond, right? $500,000 a month diamond.
Right.
That's a beautiful diamond business. Very profitable. And yeah, it would be so much fun to figure out how much money the herbalist left on the table, because we're talking about millions.
Yeah.
In income to date and future income, millions. she left on the table. But then the next question for you is, how many years, if you can kind of pinpoint it, how many years did you just use the product and hand out your ID number before you figured out that this was actually a network marketing company where you could build a sales team and you could earn an income on purpose? I think you said that was about at executive level, but how many years was that?
That was probably 4 or 5 years after we were first introduced to the product.
Yeah. Right. So one of the things that I teach people is, hey, this whole culture and paradigm in Young Living where you gather a customer and then what you do is you just let them figure out for themselves when there is an opportunity. And that gestation period takes anywhere from 2 years to forever or never, they figure it out. And so what people don't realize is how much you mentioned before we started filming, the concept of compounding. How much compounding did you leave on the table in those first 5 years where you weren't building? So I'll ask the question this way. Where do you think your team size, volume, rank, where do you think you would be if you'd started building from day one versus 5 years later?
I mean, I think we'd be RCDs without a doubt. Yeah, if we had started earlier and had been as smart about it from the beginning as we eventually got in year, and even when we started in year 4 or 5, we weren't very smart about it. That's when we kind of started doing things where we had little upline support on the business side.
Right.
CDs, but on the business side, we didn't have a lot of help there. And so it took us a few years before we really understood what we were doing at all.
Yeah.
So probably 7 or 8 years that we left on the table in terms of the business.
Yeah. So another way to look at that, which is, same way as we're talking about the herbalist, is how much money have you left on the table in past and future income? Mm-hmm. By having that accidental start, if you will. And the answer is millions. I mean, the difference between being a double diamond and a Royal Crown diamond, I mean, that's hundreds of thousands a year in income. So we're talking about millions.
Right.
Who is the grandmother that called you 3 times to tell you, hey, you might want to check out the income option?
Her name is Betty. She also lives in Ohio.
So kudos to Betty.
Right.
because she's doing one of the things that can really make a difference in your business, and that is see your customers as the best prospects on the planet, because they already love the products. They're already using the products. So all you have to do is introduce them to the idea of, maybe get your products for free, maybe make a few $100 profit a month, maybe create a second retirement program, maybe create a plan B, right? There's lots of options. And so campaigning to your customers to introduce them to that idea, that's a way to really wake up the duplication and the growth in your business. So kudos to Betty for doing that.
Exactly.
So one of the things that people will notice when they look at your stats is that compared to other people that have gone to Diamond, which what I found is about 95% of the people I've interviewed in a 24-month period, may not be their first 24 months for sure, but when they finally figured it out and kicked into gear, in the next 24 months, they personally enrolled between 80 and 100 people. And that's not just in Young Living. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people that have built huge businesses, and that's the number. That's the formula. And the reason that formula kind of works is, well, about 1 out of 10 or 15 people are leaders. They're the kind of people that get things done. They don't need to be babysat. They don't need to be coddled so much. They take personal responsibility for their goals and they go pursue them. So if you want to get, maybe 6 legs, you might want to personally enroll about 100 people. And you want to do it in a pretty short time period, not over 10 years, so that, you know, you create that kind of energy and action. But you didn't actually do that. You sponsored quite a few fewer people than that. Can you explain how you made up for not sponsoring a lot of people, how you created that duplication, what you did to inspire people's belief level and have them do what you were doing?
Well, I think once we understood the income potential, and especially when we received the letter that we could go to Silver Retreat, and that was all paper, which was eye-opening to us. That's really when we dialed in on, okay, how do we replicate this? How do we build this to, really go set intention, go in the direction of the strongest thought? And so we took on the notion of hosting classes and then always leaving an open chair, encouraging people to always bring a member. I traveled, not like countrywide, but we would plan our family vacations around where members lived, and we did classes. That was really the big thing, is coming alongside members, helping them host a class. So it was kind of like, I'll teach the first one, we'll co-teach the second one, you do the third one, and I'll be there to support you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So, that's great duplication. That's empowerment versus enablement. Great job.
So that was kind of the model we had. We also made sure that people got resources in there when they got started, so that they knew how to use those products. We sent out, usually everyone gets a postcard in the mail that connects them to our resources. And so we talked a lot about, like, don't reinvent the wheel. Because I am an internet junkie, former social media manager and blogger, like, I love websites. And so for me, it was fun. And so we created an online community. We just really, really encourage people, plug your people in here. You don't need to duplicate. You don't need to do anything else, but plug them into here. Use these resources so that you can gain momentum. You do what you do best, and I'll help you with that momentum just for people to get plugged in to ask questions.
Yeah.
We try to eliminate some work for people mostly, and it doesn't always work, but this was a passion of mine to create online communities, and still is to this day. And then just the duplication through helping people teach classes.
Well, you did a beautiful job of that. So the stats that you really nailed was your subscription percentage is 45% of your team. That's phenomenal. And your average order, or your average monthly PV, is like $135 per member that's on subscription. Those are really stout numbers. And what they speak to, I think, is the education that you have provided people that inspires them to be loyal, passionate users, creative users of Young Living products. So you really nailed that part of the business. Tell me about we were talking before the interview a little bit about where you think you might have missed the mark on offering people the income option and inspiring people around you to build. What did you do around that in your build? What kind of conversations did you have with people, or tools or processes did you offer people to inspire them to want to build? And where do you think you might have missed the mark there?
I think one of the big things, and this has probably occurred about the time hit Silver, was that you had come up with this idea, like, you were teaching classes and you love teaching classes, but we were hosting classes and we have 30 people come because we would not have room. So, like, can we get other people in those classes so we're not, like, trying to squeeze people in every nook and cranny of our house? And at that point, we had some team kind of spread out across the country, because some of those were blogging connections that she had, so they obviously couldn't drive to our house to class. So you ran a promo you look for a need. At that time, the Young Living didn't give you a diffuser in the kit. So a lot of people didn't have to buy a diffuser. And so she got the idea, like, hey, this is a need. People need a diffuser in order to really experience the glow. How about we run a promo where we give people a diffuser as long as they'll post a class in their house and post a picture of the class, you know, as proof to kind of generate excitement over it. We'll have them in a Facebook group to prove it. They'll post a picture of them hosting their class with all the people. And if they do that, then we'll send them a diffuser. And so that may not work today, right? Because diffusers aren't as hard to come by. So there's some other need though that might work today that you've just got to figure out what that need is. But that was a big season of growth for us from silver to gold and platinum very quickly. And a lot of that was because of that duplication of not so much that we were teaching people like purely business, but just trying to get them to teach classes too. And that just then morphed into many of those people who taught classes back then, some of our leaders today.
And just giving people the idea, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Because if you're perfect, you're not duplicatable. So yep. There are times like even we host a Monday night call every single week. We have for almost 2 years now. And often on those calls, I look like a hot mess because I've been outside with our goats. And like, so we do it intentionally. Like he always
does. In fact, the goats have been on Monday night Zoom calls before. Sometimes she's still working on the goats and the goats
happen. But the just even, I mean, that was a pivot is in that it's better to do something to get the movement going and to show people it doesn't have to be perfect. Just show up and share what you know and ask the open-ended questions. Show people that you care, connect them with other people and the product, and then just duplicate and then help them on with that lifestyle so that it's, you know, something that it's a part of their lifestyle every single month because of community and because of product.
Yeah.
And then now this will make you happy. And now because of the business side of it. So, you know, we have shifted. One thing recently, I have a friend on Instagram. She's an amazing Instagrammer, homesteader, has goats, all sorts of stuff. And I reached out to her because she's been using oils that she just buys at the store for over 15 years. But I saw that in a couple of her stories, she shared how they were working on creating residual income, which is why they sold chickens. She made lotion. They sell goat milk. Now they're going to start selling lavender. And I thought, there's potential there. She cares about residual income, but yet she's not affiliated with any type of oil company that will give her that she can get earned income from. Right. And so I just presented, I said, this is what I see about you. What would you think about joining with me? And she did. She got started and it's exciting. And it's not as scary as I thought to really lead with that business when you know it's really going to benefit them and they're ready for that because you're listening.
Right. Listening and paying attention. And the way I explain it to people is if all you know as a sales leader is product. And when it comes to the income option, you even as a sales leader kind of shy away from it. Like you're embarrassed by it. You don't own it. And so when you're talking to somebody, they might say, in the conversation, and I'm sort of making this up, but they might say, well, you know, we have three kids that are about to enter college and we're not sure how to pay for that. And, you know, we have, you know, our home's not big enough. And, you know, gee, the last vacation we took was 5 years ago. And, you know, my husband, you know, he's really looking forward to retiring. And, you know, my elbow, it aches a little bit. And that sales leader will say, oh, I got an oil for the elbow, right? And they'll totally miss everything else because the filter through which they listen is product. Mm-hmm. And although product is the lifeblood, it's how we get paid, it's the glue for Young Living. I mean, you can't ever hear anything I say I trust as minimizing the value of the product. Never, ever, ever. That's why Kimmy and I joined Young Living. But if you put a camera in everybody's house, and there actually is one, right, in everybody's house, and you were eavesdropping on the family, and maybe somebody is, I don't know. I don't really care. But, you know, you probably wouldn't hear families across America arguing about, you know, where are we going to find some really pure natural remedies, or where are we going to find essential oils that are managed and curated from seed to seal, stressing about that or arguing about that. But if you were eavesdropping on families, you would hear them talking about issues that are solved with more income, mm-hmm. more security. And so we can accelerate this whole process of duplication if we'll just bring some balance to our listening and to our offer. And my wife, Kimmy, describes it as, instead of offering people just an appetizer or just the entree, maybe also offer them appetizers and dessert, because maybe they want the full menu. Mm-hmm. And there's more revenue in the full member menu than there is in just one piece of it. So sounds like you're learning that lesson. And so that's going to bode well for the future growth of your team as you teach and inspire people to mm-hmm. create some balance in their listening. But your story is, that's a beautiful, great story. I love it. And, you know, it's like one of the ways that you can find a good prospect for Young Living is just find out how many kids people have. Because I think the formula is one for every rank, at least. And then if you homeschool, well, that's a deadlock cinch for success. From listening to you, I think we need to add goats to the formula.
And chickens and ducks.
And chickens and ducks.
Well, we should be clear, the chickens, the ducks, the goats, all those were a very intentional way for her to develop a new cold market that we didn't have. It was in the middle of COVID, and she started dabbling. We moved out to this land about a year and a half ago, and right before COVID hit, and she saw, like, hey, there's all these homesteader Instagrams. She talked about how she loves social media. And so she was looking at these homesteaders on Instagram, like there's big communities of people that talk about their animals and all that kind of stuff. And, like, I think this would be really fun, a fun thing for us to get into. But it would also be a great way for us to grow our cold, you know, grow our contacts. And so we launched a new Instagram called Accidental Country Folk that talked about us accidentally starting to have goats and chickens and all that good stuff. And she's, you know, continues, even though we've been in this business for a long time, continuing to enroll 3 to 5 people a month over the last
probably
year.
Now enrolling more than I ever have.
Yeah. Well, I can predict then Crown Diamond and Royal Crown Diamond in the next 3 or 4 years at that enrollment pace, because that kind of enrollment pace inspires your team to think about enrolling. And that's just a brilliant move, Jody, to see the way you can access adding new people to your warm market. You know, the mm-hmm. thing about network marketing is we really don't prospect cold market. You don't prospect people you don't know. Not very effectively, but what you do is move people from your cold market to your warm market, right, by getting to know them, having something in common with them, learning about them, listening to them.
Right.
And for you to actually add goats, chickens, and ducks to your life, just so you can get in that community and meet people, that's brilliant. And there's so many other ways people can do that. Right. People say, well, I don't have enough people in my phone to talk to. Well, you know, what are you interested in? What's fun for you? What are you passionate about? Go on Facebook and type into the search bar groups, join one, mm-hmm. meet people, ask questions. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have to buy goats. That does get expensive. I'm even working with someone in our downline, She loves books, and it's so easy because you can start a book club online. You don't have to know these people. And really the way the world is now, like, it's an open door to do that. So like so many amazing things that people can do to really grow their business and help people at the same time and do community. Like, I think it's fun.
Yeah. What people want more than alternative healthcare products and income, what is lifeblood for them? It's just as important as air and water is connection. Mm-hmm. People need connection. They need friends. They need people to be in community with. And people are getting isolated more and more today, whether it's politically or geographically. People are not, they don't connect with their neighbors as easy as they used to. And
right.
So if you can offer a place for people to come and meet new people that are like-minded, you know, we're all interested in the same thing. We all perhaps have the same values. That's more important than money or product. Mm-hmm. Brilliant strategy.
Even just around here, when we moved in, you know, we've discovered that no longer do your neighbors come to you when you move into the neighborhood.
Especially not when you move in the middle of COVID.
Right. But each of the neighborhoods that we've moved into, no one's ever welcomed us. And so we started a new thing when we've moved that we go meet the neighbors and we bring them cookies. And we include Young Living samples in the cleaner. And like even just since moving here, we've had neighbors who have gotten started and are now using Young Living just because we took them cookies and thieves cleaner. There's always potential. There's always some person that you can show that you care, and then they care what you know.
Yeah.
Opportunity is always there.
Beautiful. So one question I like to ask everybody is, try to not maybe say something you've already said. Think of something new. What's the smartest thing that you've done to build your business? Maybe you did it one time. Maybe you did it 1,000 times. Maybe it was a habit. What's the smartest thing?
I think the smartest thing is we realize our strength and gifts and what we're not good at and what we are good at. So, like Brian handles a lot of, you know, he looks at the stats and then he extrapolates the information into this is the action step for you, Jody. You know, he helps do all the admin stuff that bogs me down. He really keeps
organized. I'm an engineer, so stats and project management and all those kinds of things come second nature to me, and I keep everything organized and realize that she's the one that's great at talking to people, and so whatever I can do to free up her time to be talking to people is going to be a wise thing. So yeah, I think acting in our strengths rather than both trying to replicate the other person's strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brilliant.
You know, that was the great thing. Like we predicted when he came home or when he retired that our income would go up. Because I don't always look at the numbers. I don't think I realized it was going to go up as much as it did when he came home, but that was really him coming in and streamlining our processes so that we got the things done. We stayed on track. Like we meet every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. And then we have another meeting usually on Saturday. So we have these things in place that keep us over communicating. I think that's for us one of the biggest things that we've done right or done well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just for clarity for the audience, that's the two of you meeting. That's a business meeting of the owners, not a team.
Two of us, right. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've got a standing agenda that we just roll through and hit the major items for the week ahead. And when we have a typed agenda that we look at, and you know, it's just like a real business meeting.
Really? Like a real business that does $6 million a year, right? Real business.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, why not treat it like a real business?
Probably something that our team sees is every Monday night, we have a Zoom call. And, you know, it's standing for people to register for. The topic changes, we bring in speakers. So I think that has been, that consistency has been really good for our team too.
Yeah, awesome. I just want to shine a light, Brian, on your looking at the metrics and then sharing with Jody where she might want to focus her time and attention. That's the real brilliance of metrics, is they're not confused. They don't lie, they don't exaggerate, they don't hide the facts. They just tell the truth. And if you understand how to look at the metrics, and then you can design a strategy where you can be highly efficient. Without looking at the metrics, Jody just might be out there being Jody, telling stories, having classes, and her gift, you know, that could end up kind of like being a rocket that has a lot of power and a lot of force and goes, travels a long distance, but not the most efficient. And I see that as a huge missing in the higher ranks in Young Living, that most top ranked leaders don't pay attention to their metrics. So for those of you listening, if you don't have it, there is a report that you can get from Oily Trends. And this is if you're perhaps like a gold or platinum or above, called the Richard Brook Annual Report. You have to ask for it. They'll send it to you once a month if you ask for it. And it is all the metrics that I have designed that are important for you to look at, to see where are your strengths, where are your weaknesses, what's working that you need to do more of, and what's not working that you might need to shore up. So I think that's a brilliant partnership that the two of you have. And I love, Jody, that consistency is also so big, so huge. So what's the biggest mistake you've made in building your business? Maybe it was a one-time blunder. Maybe it was a bad habit. Maybe it was a misguided strategy.
I would say we are very wide. So at one point, I think we were 50 wide, perhaps. And so now we're more like, I think, 20, 25 wide. And so I think that's one of my biggest regrets, is not building strategically deep. And of course, educating people on that, because I do think it could have created momentum and excitement when all of those people started to see, oh, wow, I got a paycheck and all of that. So I would say that we're wide.
Yeah. All right. Cool. And last question, what's the future for you? Where do you see yourself going with Young Living in the next couple of years? What are your plans? What's your vision?
Well, I keep saying RCD. So the room you're sitting in, right? We're sitting in right now is my office. And before the walls got painted, I wrote all over them, I am a Royal Crown Diamond. A Royal Crown Diamond works in this room. I am a Royal Crown Diamond that's going to make a difference. So that is all over the walls in this office. And I know we're passionate about it because we want to use that money for good. Yeah. We want to help build an orphanage in Nepal that we've partnered with. We want to build a barn, and we want to have people come over and experience wealth, not wealth, well, wealth, but just experience wholeness and wellness and abundance and feel loved. So RCD is like, we don't plan on stopping.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We'll get there. And if we have to pivot, keep pivoting like we did, like starting the new Instagram, buying goats, like we'll just keep pivoting and keep doing it. And that consistency and showing up and people knowing that we're trustworthy, we're going to help them through it and continue to grow.
Yeah, but I don't see us ever just taking our foot off the gas and saying, we're just going to let it coast from here and just see what happens to the business, because that's a recipe for disaster. I mean, it would continue for a while, but it won't continue forever if we don't keep our foot on the gas. So yeah, keep coming up with new ideas, new ways to help people, support people, and reach
people. Yeah, it's easy to make too much money if your goals are personally focused and self-absorbed and materialistic. But when you start taking on helping other people, it's impossible to earn too much money. Mm-hmm. You could earn $1 million a month. That's not going to put a dent in a cause that you have.
Right. Yeah. And I think I love sending out mail and giving people gifts and stuff. So, I mean, we've got to keep going because he does a postage for us. And I think,
you don't need to stay in the postage budget, but that's discussed at our weekly meeting, and then she overrules the budget and says,
"Love it." I'm going to start.
I know I'm over budget, but I want to send. So
people need happy mail.
They do. I'm going to start that weekly budget meeting with Kimmy and see how that goes.
That's great. He's got an agenda, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
I love it. Hey, you two, I really appreciate getting to know you and hearing your story. And I know everybody watching and listening got a lot out of it, and great inspiration, great ideas, great strategy. You are, it's crazy, you know, how many people I've interviewed, and every one of them is just really salt of the earth, young living people, wonderful, big-hearted, clear-eyed people. And so thank you for giving us your time and your story and inspiring people all over the world to accomplish what you've accomplished.
Thanks for doing these and collecting these stories. This is great, for just a great tool for all of us to have and be able to share with people.
And we just really appreciate how authentic you are, and just, it really comes through, and it really won us over. Like watching you and seeing you and Kimmy just, you know, walk the talk, and day in and out, we've watched you, and we were like, we want to do an interview with you. Like, we really wanted this opportunity because we really just value you and the investment that you're making in Young Living too. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Beautiful. All right, gang, thanks for joining us for another Road to Diamond. Remember, share these interviews with your team. This is how they build the belief, is hearing other people's story. There's about 50 of them. Eventually there'll be 500 of them. And if you know a diamond or above that deserves to be on the Road to Diamond show, send them our way and we'll get their interview. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time at Road to Diamond.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's RUNTHRURANK.com. We'll see you there.